Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It is good to know the Lord Jesus Christ today.
Yes, it is.
In the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
To know the liberty by which He has set us free. Amen. I thank God for His grace, His love, His mercy, and His salvation. Today, I would like for us to look to the Word of the Lord from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and verse number 2. And then we're going to pick up again with verse number 11 and read through verse 18 and also the first verse of chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And beginning with verse number 1. We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And then in verse 11, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels, or in your own affections. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Continuing now with the first verse of chapter 7. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. We pray, God, that it would find residence in our heart. God, let us find application in our life, and let your grace and your mercy, O God, abound in us as we walk in truth and righteousness by the Spirit of God. We pray it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated today. That I want to just preach to you for just a few minutes this morning on grace and holiness. Grace is an awesome thing. For it is by grace that we are saved through faith in the redemptive power of the blood of Jesus Christ. By grace, we are made heirs of the promises of God. Because it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And so every man and every woman that comes to receive God's wonderful salvation receives it not because that we have earned it, not because that we have attained unto our own personal standard of righteousness, but we obtain salvation by God's mercy and God's grace. Then it's interesting in this passage of Scripture, as the Apostle Paul is writing to the church, to believers who have been born again of water and spirit, that he says unto them that we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also. We beseech you, or we plead of you, we beg of you, we implore you, that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Now, is it possible to receive the grace of God in vain? Apparently so. Why else would the apostle plead with the believers at Corinth not to receive God's grace in vain if it were impossible for God's grace to be received into our lives in vain? He implores them, and he says, he quotes from Scriptures where the Lord Himself said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That when we respond to the call of God, that God is willing and He is able to save us at that moment. In an instant. Because God saves us through the power of the Holy Ghost. It is a miracle. It is a work. It is an act, a miraculous act of God. There's nothing that's more astounding than the miracle of salvation. That it's more incredible than the opening of the blind eyes, or the unstopping of the deaf ears, or the lame leaping for joy. That God can take a sinner just like you and I, and that in a moment, in a time of salvation, that He will bestow upon us His righteousness, and He will justify us because of our faith in His Word. And so there's something great about grace. Oh, thank God that we're saved by grace, and that the grace of God is the only thing that stands between you and I and the certain judgment of God. For the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And so we obtain salvation as a free gift. And God gives it in response to man's faith in the redemptive power of the blood of Jesus Christ. I still believe in the power of the blood. That one drop of blood, amen, was shed for my sin to blot out my iniquity. God promised that He would remove our sins from us as east is from the west. That He would cast them into the sea. And that He would remember them no more. Now that is a marvelous thing. That is the power of grace. Grace is able to take a wretched sinner that has transgressed the laws of God and that is doomed to a life of turmoil and strife and the ultimate judgment of the fires of hell, that God can take a wretched sinner and that He can make us into a child of God. Oh, the power of grace. Are you thankful today for grace? Amen. And so grace is wonderful, but is it possible, once again, that the Apostle Paul, he puts forth the question, and he says to them that he beseeches them that they receive not the grace of God in vain. It's a terrible thing to receive something and for it to be to no profit because we do not value the treasure. We do not value the gift that was given to us. I want you to know that the grace of God is a gift. Right. Salvation is a gift from heaven above. Right. And it's something that we ought to treasure. It's something that we ought to rejoice in. It's not something that we should casually set aside. But the Apostle Paul beseeches us as he besought the Corinthians that they should not receive God's grace in vain. So it is apparently possible to receive grace. And for that grace to be received with an attitude or a heart of ingratitude. To receive grace and it be to no profit because we cast aside our confidence. The Bible says that salvation is to those that endure unto the end. It's not those that start out in a race that receive the prize, but it's those that are faithful unto God. Unto the end. That we must be faithful. Paul said, I die daily. Lest having preached to others, I myself become a castaway. That we must not let God's grace be something that is bestowed upon us in vain. Amen. And then Paul begins to talk about those things that he had endured. He said in verse 4, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, and in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. That all of these things, amen, that we go through, amen, but God gave us a promise that His grace is sufficient. We may find ourselves facing trials and afflictions, going through difficult places in life, being pressed beyond measure, having an infirmity in our body, being tempted by the devil, being persecuted by the world, suffering for the name of Jesus Christ. But in all these things, God said, My grace is sufficient for you. Thank God for grace. So grace is not a one-time thing. We obtain grace when we come to God and we repent of our sins and we are buried in the name of Jesus for the remission of our sins, we are filled with the glorious gift of the Holy Ghost. That's grace. That's the unmerited favor of God. We are not worthy to receive His blessing. We're not worthy to be counted as sons and daughters of the King and heirs of His righteousness. But oh, I thank God that grace doesn't end at Calvary. Grace doesn't end at an altar of repentance. Grace doesn't end in a baptismal pool. Grace doesn't end when I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. That God says that my grace will be sufficient for you. That every day that you walk, every day that you live, every adversity that you face, my grace will be sufficient. Amen. God's grace. We are saved by faith. No amount of works that we do, no amount of suffering that we endure will ever allow us to receive the blessings of God by our own power or by our own virtue. But it is by the grace of God. Paul insisted that as Christians, we are not restricted by rules as for men. We are not limited by one another, but we are restricted by our own affections as from the Holy Ghost, because it is God that puts His Spirit in us. And so Paul writes in verse 7, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Oh, you Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged. I am going to be open with you. I'm not going to withhold anything back, that in all these things, regardless of our condition, regardless of the state that we're in, regardless of the situation around us, that God is faithful. That His power is able to secure us because God's grace abides upon us. God's grace abides within us. God's grace goes before us. And then he goes on in verse 12 and he says, ye are not straitened. That word straitened means restricted. You're not restricted as by us. It's not because of anything that I have done or can do. You see, when you become a child of God and you begin to walk in God's grace and walk in God's power as by the Spirit of God, that we do not live by a set of restrictions that are from man, but we are restricted only by the power of God. We're restricted only by the Spirit of God that dwells within us. And so that's what Paul is saying. You're not restricted in us, but ye are restricted or restrained in your own bowels. And that word bowels there means affections. When you are born of God, that no longer do you love the things of the world. The Bible says you become a new creature in Christ Jesus, and old things are passed away, and all things are become new. And so he says that you're not restricted by us. It's not what the pastor tells you or what the church teaches, amen, that limits you in your walk with God. God forbid that we would have to give you a list of guidelines. Thou shalt not do this and thou shalt not do that. Don't steal from your neighbor. You know, don't siphon gas out of your neighbor's gasoline tank. You know, there's just some things that you don't have to have in a child of God. You're not restricted, Paul says, in us, but you're restricted by that is in your own bowels or in your own spirit. You're restricted by your own affections or as from the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, thank God. That if there are restrictions, they're not restrictions of man, that we are restricted and that we do not do those things that are not pleasing to God. The Bible says that if you walk in the Spirit, that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. If you walk in the Spirit of God, that you're going to do the things that please Him, that honor Him, that glorify Him. Then Paul says, so I'm going to speak openly to you as Christians, amen, that you are not restricted in us, that it's not by man's authority, amen, that you do not do the things that are of the world, that you are different from the man that you used to be. Why are we different? Why are we a witness and a light? Is it because of the restrictions of men? Is it because of the deeds of the law? Or is it because of the Spirit of the law that dwells in us? The law that was written upon stone could not save anybody. The Bible says the letter, what? Killeth. But the Spirit maketh alive. But the law of God that is in us, it limits what we will do, what we want to do, where we go, how we dress, how we look. It's not as of men, but it is of God, that you are restricted by your own affection, by your own love of the things of God. If you fall in love with God, if you fall in love with His Word, if you fall in love with righteousness, if you fall in love with the goodness and the mercy of God, amen, then you will please the Lord and in all things honor Him and His great name. And he goes in verse 13, now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children. I speak unto you not as an overseer or to lord over God's heritage. I don't speak to you condescendingly, but I speak unto you as unto my own children that I have begotten in the faith. You know, there's something about your children that there is a love there. There's an affection there. There is a sense of responsibility toward those that are your own flesh and blood that you don't feel toward every child or every one that is in the world, that there is an affection, there is a identification between you and your children that exists between no other. Can you identify with that? That we are the children of God. And there is a love for God, a love for God's people. In fact, God said that we are the apple of His eye. Now, God loves everybody. But God loves especially those that are of the household of faith. Because we belong to Him. We are His sons and we are His daughters. We belong to His family. And we wear the family name. Can I hear an amen from somebody this morning? Paul said, I speak to you as unto my children. My heart is enlarged for you. I long after you. I love you with a godly love. And he says in verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelief. Now he had just said, you're not restricted as by me.
Right.
You're restricted by your own affections, by the Spirit of God that dwells in you. That's what makes you a Christian. Brother Hyatt or Brother Grissom doesn't make you a Christian. The United Pentecostal Church doesn't make you a Christian. No set of commandments, no set of suggestions, no set of rules and regulations make you who you are. You are a child of God because you're begotten by the Word of God. Amen. By every we live not by our own flesh. We live not according to our own will, but we live according to every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We live to please the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said, you're not restricted by rules as of me or as of men, but by your own affection. And then he says in verse 14, he says, now I'm speaking to you as unto my children. I'm not giving you an order as a magistrate would give an order. I'm not speaking to you in condescension, but I am speaking to you as a father would speak to his children. Did not all of us have mothers and fathers that cared about us, that loved us? Amen. That admonished us, that exhorted us, that gave us godly instruction. How many of you are thankful for your heritage? You're thankful for mothers and fathers that brought you up and taught you the truth. Paul said, I'm not giving you rules and regulations to restrict you. I'm not trying to put a heavy yoke upon you that you cannot bear. But he said, I'm admonishing you with a heart that's full of love. I'm talking to you out of the heart of a father who cares about the welfare of his children. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, the Bible tells us, that we must not have fellowship with those that are unbelievers. What fellowship, the Bible says, what fellowship hath righteousness and lawlessness? What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? That we don't want to be a part of those things that are displeasing to God. It's not because that we're better than other people, but we do not want to commit the same sins that they commit. We do not want to tarnish ourselves or put a blot upon ourselves or bring reproach upon the name of Christ. Because the Bible said when we become children of God, that we become a select people, that we become a peculiar treasure. We belong to God. We don't belong to ourselves. That we belong to the family of God. And that we must keep ourselves unspotted from the world. And you say, praise the Lord. And so, who we fellowship is important to our relationship with God. Now, why is Paul talking about all these things? Well, in the context of the question of, is it possible to receive the grace of God in vain? That's where he prefaced all of these remarks. When we stay within the context of what the Apostle Paul was telling them, he said, I am beseeching you. I am begging you. I am pleading with you to listen to me as I speak to you as a father would speak to his children. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Why? Because I don't want you to receive the grace of God in vain. You've got to be careful who you team up with. You've got to be careful who you fellowship. You've got to be careful the places you go, the things that you do. Because we're children of God. And he continues on in this context, and he says, what communion hath light with darkness? And what accord or what unity has Christ with Belial? What accord is there between the believer and the unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? And then he puts it all within this frame of reference when he concludes with this. And he says unto them, and what agreement at the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. You are the temple of God. This house is mortar and it's wood. It is made by man. It is a place where we come to worship God. This isn't the temple of God. This isn't the church. You are the church. You are God's building. You are a holy temple to give praise and honor to God. And so will you defile the temple of the living God? Will you bring dishonor to the name of Jesus? For ye are the temple of the living God. For as God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. We are His people. We are the temple of God, that we might walk in His grace, that we might walk in holiness, that we might walk in righteousness, and that we might please Him who is the author and the finisher of our faith. It's not by the restrictions of man. It's not by rules and regulations, but it's according to the love of God that is in our heart, that we choose to serve Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Oh, thank God, thank God. You are the temple of the living God. Then he admonishes in verse 17, and I'm wrapping it up, that the musicians would come. Now I want you to listen closely in verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Now Paul previously said, now I'm exhorting you, I'm not legislating, I'm not laying out restrictions that are of a man, but I'm speaking to you as a father would speak to his children. But now he's not speaking by his authority. Now he's not suggesting things that would protect them as children of God. He is speaking in the place of God. These are not his words. These are the very words of God himself. It says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate. Not saith the Apostle Paul. Not saith United Pentecostal Church. Hello? Not saith Pastor Grissom or Pastor Hart. But rather saith the Lord. That pretty much puts everything in perspective. It's not what I say or another man says or what United Pentecostal Church says. But God says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. God said, don't let my grace be in vain. God forbid that His grace should be bestowed in vain, that we should count His blessings as nothing, but come up out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. But He doesn't stop there. The Lord says, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. If we want to inherit the promises of God, if we want to be counted as sons and daughters of the Lord, He said, come out from among them and be ye separate. And then, in one concluding verse, He said, having therefore these promises, we have a promise. Aren't you thankful today for the promise of salvation? You know why you have a promise? It's by grace. Am I worthy? Am I without sin? No. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all lost our way. We've all stumbled and fell. We've all done things that we're not proud of. But having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Oh, just because we failed doesn't mean that we throw in the towel. Because we're saved by grace. We're saved by grace. We're saved by grace. We're saved because of His mercy. Yeah. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You see, holiness is not something that you take and you put it on and you take it off. Holiness is not something that you can lay aside at will. But holiness is something that you must perfect in the fear of God. Holiness is something that you do every day. Holiness is not some religious garb that you put on when you come to church so as not to offend anybody. That's not holiness. All right. I said that's not holiness. Right. Holiness is not what we put on or what we take off. Right. It's not the outward appearance. That's not holiness. No. Holiness that is limited to what appears outwardly is no more than skin deep. But holiness that pleases the Lord comes from the abundance of one's love toward God and toward His righteousness. Holiness is something that is cultivated in the lives that we live. Holiness is something that we're reaching for, that we're reaching to grasp hold of, that is that it's not of us, but it's of God. Because there's only one that's without sin. And He is holy. He is without sin. He never stumbles. He never fails. Though we cannot grasp hold of it and claim it by our own power, by our own merit, or by our own works, because all of our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. Holiness is something that we strive for. And though it may seem elusive to us at times, because we fall far short of the holiness of God. I said we fall far short of the holiness of God. Because He alone is holy. He alone is without a sin or a blemish or a blot. And only by being clothed upon with His righteousness, only by allowing Him to cover us, amen, can we be considered holy in His sight. It's not my righteousness, it's His righteousness. And so we become like Him. Amen. As we cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh. There are many things that defile the body. And the Bible says that your body is the temple of the living God. We've got to be careful, amen, what we do, lest that we should bring reproach upon the name of God. Amen. We need to be modest. Amen. We need to be pure. We need to be without pride and haughtiness. Amen. We need to be humble and meek. That's the attitude of holiness. It's humility. It's meekness. To cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. All things that defile the flesh. But that's not where it stops. To be holy, we must cleanse ourselves of both the filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. We need to get rid of attitudes. We need to get rid of a judgmental spirit. Amen. That condemns our brother or condemns our sister or presumes evil. Amen. Without knowing all the facts. Amen. There's only one judge. The Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. Because by the same judgment you mete out, it's going to be meted out to you again. Oh God, help us, Lord, that Your grace should not be in vain. Help us, God, that Your grace should not be in vain, that we should walk unworthy of Your holiness, that we should walk unworthy of Your name, that we should walk unworthy of Your love. I want to be worthy. I want to be received. I want to be accepted in Jesus Christ. To hear Him say one day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter ye into the joys of the Lord. Amen. I'm talking about grace and holiness that is acceptable unto God. Would you stand today and let us call upon the name of the Lord. Let us pray today. Lord Jesus, we ask You, God, God, that You would allow Your holy presence to speak to us this morning. God, to search our heart, to search our lives. And if You find anything, oh God, that displeases You, God, that You would allow Your Spirit to begin to work on my heart, to work on my life, so that I can perfect holiness in the fear of God. Lord, that I can cleanse myself of everything that would defile, of everything that would bring reproach, of everything that would obscure my witness to a lost and dying world. God, speak to us today. Oh God, we pray, Lord, let your blessing be upon us. Extend your mercy. Extend your grace. Because we're unworthy, God. We're unworthy, God, of your love. We're unworthy, God, of your salvation. We're unworthy, God, of your forgiveness. But God, let me be worthy. Oh God, let my life, oh God, be a light. Let my life be a witness. Let me live according to your will and according to the leading of your spirit. Oh God, I pray right now in Jesus' name. I wonder if there's someone today that says, I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be more like you. I want to separate myself from all unrighteousness. I want to separate myself from all that is unlike God. I want to separate myself from the world. I want to separate myself from those that are rebellious against the Word of God. I want to draw back to God. I want to come into His presence. I want to be clothed with His grace. I want to be clothed with His righteousness. Is there someone today that would say, I want to be more like Jesus? Hallelujah, we welcome you today. These altars are open. We ask you right now to come and pray and seek the mind of God. We're going to turn the service to our pastor and the Lord.
We worship you with lips of adoration. We worship you as a company of praise. Let this temple be a place where your glory is embraced. As we stand in awe and worship you, we worship you with lips of adoration. We worship you as a company of praise. Let this temple be a place where your glory is embraced. As we stand in awe and worship you, let this temple be a place where your glory is embraced. As we stand in awe and worship you.
When the scripture says that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, it puts what we do with the body in a whole different realm of understanding. When I realize that this body that I live in is a house of worship dedicated to God, then it limits what I allow my body to do.
All right.
Because I am the temple.
Yeah, yeah.
This building, we could sell it and it could be turned into any kind of a building. It wouldn't matter because it's a building. But you're the Holy Ghost. I traveled on deputation. went to churches that were just beginning, and they would go in and clean the building the best they could, but you could still smell the stench of beer. And yet the Holy Ghost would come down. People would get saved. Wasn't the building.
That's right.
It was just a VFW hall that they'd been drinking in Sunday, Saturday night. But it's the only place they could find to have church until they could get their own building started somewhere. The Holy Ghost didn't care about that. The temple, you're the temple. So you see, that's why, again, as Brother Hart put it so beautifully here today, it's not a list of rules and regulations that your pastor or the United Pentecostal Church hands you and says you got to do this. It's a relationship. It's strictly between you and God.
Yeah.
It's strictly between you and God. And could I say this? We just go ahead and love folks.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. And let God bring them in.
That's right.
Amen. Let God bring them along.
Yeah.
I've known folks that, they got things straight pretty quick. I know the folks that took them a long time.
That's right.
But you know why they got it straightened out? Because it kept coming.
Yeah, that's right.
They didn't quit. They didn't stop. Amen. And in time, God delivered them from things. So don't you use your experience with God to judge somebody else.
All right.
Well, that's not the way it happened with me, brother. I'm telling you, when I got saved, from then on, bless God, I never committed another sin. You just did. You lied. Don't tell me that. Now, you may not have fallen back into some sins of the flesh, but you've dealt with some things in your lifetime.
All right, yes.
And if you haven't, if you'll stay close to the Holy Ghost, He'll give you compassion instead of judgment against your brother. You'll not look down at your nose at your brother because he's not as good as you are, but you'll give him a hand to lift him up. And you'll have a spirit of compassion that says, well, keep trying. Amen. I don't know why you're going through this. Amen. But God's mercy is rich. You're going to make it. I'm going to help you. You're going to make it. We're going to make it together. Amen. That's kind of attitude we have to have. Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm not here to re-preach this. I'm going to do it later. Amen. But let's look to the Lord right now, shall we? Jesus, I want to be holy, but I want to be genuinely holy. I want to do it for the right reason. I want to have the right motive. I don't want to do it so I'll have the approval of men. But I want to do it because I'll have the approval of God. I don't want to do it because I can join the fellowship of the elite. But I want to do it because I truly am righteous. I want to be righteous because it pleases you. So help me today, God, to be truly holy. Help me today, Lord, to be truly holy. And help me to have the spirit of holiness. And I'll have compassion. And I'll have mercy. Amen. That I'll always seek the betterment of others. And growth and maturity in myself and in my brothers and sisters. Help me today, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Help me today. I want to be better. I want to be right. I want to be holy. In the image of Jesus Christ, we thank you. Give you praise. Give you honor and glory today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you.